Amen. You know, I don't know if you've discovered this, but James and I were talking just briefly before the service, and how many of you have figured out that 2011 is almost done? I don't know if this has been your experience, but this year has gone by more quickly than any other year in my life. Am I just the only one? Even my kids. You remember when you were a kid? It took forever for Christmas to come back around. It took forever for school to finish. You're going through school. Well, my kid said, this has been the fastest year ever. And I don't know exactly what to say about that, except that everyone I talk to, they say the same thing. It really does appear that time is speeding up. Don't know how to explain it. Even unbelievers are saying so. You know, I'm not into the whole 2012 is the end of the year, end of the world thing. You know, there's so much going on about 2012 and the Mayan calendar and all those types of things. I'm not into all that. But one thing I do know is some may say, do you think that 2012 is it? I don't know, but one thing I do know, 2012 is it for some people. Think about that. Just that testimony we heard of that the brother here in this church ministering unto that friend of his over in Joburg. I'm not saying that's the end for him, but there are people waiting for us. And I really think this is going to be a very sober message tonight. I don't mean sober in a bad way. But I really believe that God has really been thundering in my heart that the time is short. Redeem the time. And so many people, I don't exactly know how this message is going to come across tonight, okay? So just bear with me. I think all of you know who I am by now. And I really believe that I think I'm preaching to myself more than you. So I asked my wife if she was going to come tonight. She said, no, she'll just download it later. Boy, technology is great, huh? Now your wives don't have to hear you in person anymore. I'll just download it later. But I really, really believe that the Holy Spirit is really just stirring up those who are listening. Notice I said those who are listening. He's stirring up the body of Christ, but not everyone's listening. And He's stirring us up that the time is short. Redeem the time. And we really have to understand a few things about timing. So many people in the body of Christ believe that timing is all up to God. And they're waiting for God to somehow sovereignly or supernaturally do something to force the issue. And the Bible doesn't say that that's what takes place. When you look at Hebrews chapter 11, folks, and I might even go there and preach on this, like I told you, who cares what I had planned to do? But when you go to Hebrews chapter 11, let's go there real quickly, because I don't know about you, but how many of you want to change the world and we recognize it's not us, okay? But you want to make yourself available for Jesus to change the world around you. Because every single person that we call heroes in the Word of God, let God change their world around them by yielding unto Him and allowing Him to carry out His purposes through their lives. Let me just say this, okay? And if I offend you, good. God doesn't want to fulfill your purpose. Too many Christians are wasting their time trying to present God their ideas and asking God to anoint it or bless it. Whatever group you're in, they have a little different term for that. You don't need to do that, folks. Make yourself a willing vessel and watch what God does. You won't even have to pray for God to bless what He's put on your heart to do. It's already blessed. Because the Bible tells us in Ephesians chapter 2, and if you go through verses 8 through 10, verse 8 is very clear. For we are saved by grace through faith. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. But then verse 10 says, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which He prepared beforehand. Folks, it is not a mystery what God wants to do. You want to do what God wants? Look at Jesus and just do what He did. Think about that. Jesus could have done anything, but He said, it is My meat, My will, My desire to do the works of Him. Notice He said the works of Him, not His own works. Do you know what's so awesome? It's such a place of rest. When we enter into His work, all we do is show up and watch what He does through us. How many of you ever, God opened the door and you were sharing the gospel and you could tell it wasn't you? You could sense the Lord was drawing and organizing and orchestrating and making the conversation flow the way He wanted it to, and boom, God connected with that person. You just happened to be the vessel He used. It's awesome. But if we go over to Hebrews chapter 11, Hebrews chapter 11 is such a powerful portion of Scripture. If we would just study this out, we would see such awesome stuff. This is not just a rehashing of a story. It is the Apostle Paul, because I believe he wrote it. And when you study the Hebrews, it sounds just like Paul and his other writings. So that's okay if you don't believe that. It's fine. It doesn't matter. Let's not fight over those points. But whoever wrote Hebrews, he includes this story of all these different people in Hebrews chapter 11, where he says, if you would just but dare to believe God, your whole world around you can change. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 11. Let's look at verse 1. Hebrews chapter 11 verse 1 says, now faith is the substance. Folks, faith is not something that's out there somewhere and it's not weird. Faith is not weird, folks. Faith is real. It's tangible. Jesus Christ now lives on the inside of you. That's real. Whether you feel it or not, doesn't matter. But it's real. It's substance. Notice it says, faith is the substance of things hoped for. Hope, what do we hope for? I talked about this a little bit last Sunday. We hope for what God says. Not just for anything and everything. Is it going to rain this weekend? I hope not. Or if you're a farmer, I hope so. We're not talking about that. We're talking about what the Bible says, what God declares to us. And that hope is an anchor for the soul. So when we're hoping in what God has shown us and what God is speaking to us and what He's revealed to us through His written Word, that is what we hope for. The Bible says that faith, we know this in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 17, faith comes by hearing, and hearing comes from the Word of God. So God's Word produces faith in us when we hear it. We're not talking about hearing it with these two little fleshly thing sticking on the side of our heads, and some of us have earrings in it and some don't. I'm not talking about those things. We're talking about when God opens your heart. It's like when Jesus said in many occasions, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." He wasn't talking about this. But when you hear the Word of God from your heart, because the Holy Spirit opens your heart, and that Word penetrates and gets planted and deposited in your heart, it has everything in that seed to produce what God desires. When you were born again, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23 says, you were born again, not of corruptible seed, but of the incorruptible seed of the Word of God, which lives and abides forever. That is why the Bible tells us that it's through the foolishness of preaching that God has chosen to save those who hear. Not this, hear. I don't know about you, but when I gave my life to Christ, I grew up going to church. I grew up in a Christian home, if you want to call it that. It was. I'm not knocking that, but I'm saying, God only has first generation children. How many of you know what I'm talking about? There's no, I was in the family of God because my parents were believers. Now, they introduced me, and I'm so grateful for that. I don't take it for granted that I'd be standing here today if it wasn't for my parents. I believe that I'm standing here today because of what my parents put in me, as imperfect as they are, because they're human. But when I gave my life to Jesus, my heart was, yes, but my mind was, what are you doing? How many of you received Christ and your mind was saying, what are you doing? How do you know this is real? Had a girlfriend at the time and I forgot all about her. Didn't call her for 2 weeks. And we weren't living in the same city. But then she called me one day and I told her what happened. And she got nervous, said, you joined a cult. I didn't join a cult. I believe Jesus. But my mind was saying, what is this? We have to sometimes listen to what God is speaking to our heart in the midst of everything that's screaming at us in our heads. There have been many times where I've stepped out, and every time you step out to believe what God's saying, your mind will scream, what if you fail? What if it doesn't work? What if you look stupid? When God told us to go to Russia back in 1999, my heart was saying, hallelujah, praise God. But my mind was going, what are we going to do? I don't know those Russians. They're the enemy. Remember? Cold War for Americans and Russians. I thought all Russians carried an AK-47 and they ate Americans for breakfast. My heart's going, yes, but my mind is screaming, where are you going to live? What are you going to do? You have two children, your babies, you're tagging along there. What kind of a man are you? Because all the people will tell you these things. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. It didn't say not real. Not seen with your physical eyes. See, a lot of people say, some people will teach faith like this. Faith is believing that something isn't so, and if you believe it long enough and hard enough, you'll make it so. That's not true. Faith is believing that what God says is so. Even though you can't see it with your physical eyes, how many of you know God's a spirit? And those who worship Him must worship Him in spirit and truth. I've never seen God with my physical eyes. I've seen Jesus with my spiritual eyes. I felt His presence. Now, when I read His Word, I read it with my physical eyes, but if my spiritual eyes don't pick up on it, then it's just like reading a story. Let's look at this. By it, verse 2, for by it the elders obtained a good testimony. By what? Faith, believing God, hope. By it the elders obtained a good testimony, and by faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. Folks, a lot of people have used this scripture and they apply it to when God created the heavens and the earth. That's not what it's talking about. It's not talking about God. It's talking about us. God sees everything. God sees everything in the spirit, and He sees everything in the natural. Think about that. So this not seen is talking about us. And when you look at verse 3, when it says worlds, that's actually in the Greek word for aeons, which means ages, time frames. And then it goes on and it starts talking about Abel, it starts talking about Enoch, it starts talking about Noah, and it starts talking about Abraham and Moses and all these guys. And He wasn't writing this so that we could be jealous about what God did through them because they believed what God said and made themselves available even to the point of death. You know, sometimes that's what stops some of us. Fear of death. What happens if I go there and they don't listen to me, or they don't like me, or they kill me, or this or that or the other? What happens if I go there and I fail? What happens if I go there and it doesn't work? All of those thoughts I've had to battle with. If you've never had to battle those thoughts, it's because you've never stepped out. Every single time you step out believing what God has shown you in your heart, what He's spoken to you, there's a possibility of failing. Every time. That if God doesn't come through, this isn't going to work. But you know what? That's exactly the place where you need to be. Who wants to do what I can produce? I want to do what only God can produce. So when you go home, study Hebrews chapter 11. Get some insights for yourself. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place which he would receive as an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. Verse 8. I love that verse. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 8. I've many times gone out simply because God said go out, and I didn't know where I was going. How I was going to do it. How it was going to work out. And you know what? People will say you're crazy. I've had people say, show me your plan. I don't have a full plan yet. I just have a step. I'm going to take it. Amen. You're crazy. No, I'm not. You are. You're out of your mind, Sean. No, I'm out of your mind. And people close to you will say those things. You don't have to have the full plan before you step out when God's saying take the step. Remember when the priests in the book of Joshua, it says God said go across the Jordan. It was flooded. It wasn't at the time when it was dry and it was just a little trickle and they could just step over. It said it was flooded. And it said go across. And they're looking at him like, how? He said, go across. So I could just see him do this. And it says that as soon as they put their foot in the waters receded. You remember the story of the 10 lepers. Might be wrong, but I think it's 10 lepers. And Jesus said, now go and wash in the pool of Siloam, or one of those pools. And it says, and as they went, they were healed. It wasn't when He laid hands on them. He said, go and wash. And Jesus walked away. And as they stepped out, and as they went, it says, and as they went, they were cleansed of their leprosy. I've discovered this one thing. You don't have to have all of your questions answered to believe God. I've also discovered this. A lot of the answers to our questions are on the other side of stepping out. Let's turn over to Romans chapter 13. Romans chapter 13. Let's look at verse 11. Look at verse 11. It says, and do this, knowing the time, that now it is high time to wake out of sleep. For now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. What's it talking about? It's not talking about you aren't saved yet. It's talking about His return. High time. For now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. Let's turn over to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 16. Now these are encouraging scriptures, folks, for us to stop making excuses for ourselves. Because I've done it many times. It's not the right time yet. Well, when's the right time? Again, this is encouraging. I'm not beating you down. If you're feeling condemned, you're hearing me wrong. Okay. This is to encourage us. Not to get us worked up into a frenzy, but say, you know what? What if you knew that next week Jesus is going to return? Now really, what if you knew that next week, how would you live your life differently this week? Would you be worrying about money? I'd be maxing my credit cards out. I don't know about you. I'm going to go bring the gospel in a Lamborghini. No, but wouldn't we live differently if we knew Jesus was coming back next week? And I can only speak for myself, but there are many things that I could do that I put off. Simply because maybe I'm waiting for this to be sorted out. I don't know if you've discovered, but as soon as this one's sorted out, there's something else. If that's what's going to stop you, there'll be something else. That'll distract you. So let's look at Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 16. It says, see then that you walk circumspectly. That's a very interesting word. This means carefully. Just means using your head. How many of you know people that walk and they live their lives as if they're not even using their head? Like, what is wrong? Now, when they're little kids, you understand that. But it says, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, verse 16, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. It didn't say you're evil. It said the days, the ages, the aeons, where we live right now, it's evil out there. And if we will believe God the way that Moses did, the way that Noah did, the way that those guys do, we can see God change our age. But this is one thing that God has never done. Are you ready for this? God has never changed this world without using a man or a woman. Not one time. Now, you can argue with that or you can cooperate with God. When God wanted to do the greatest work that needed to be done on this earth, what did He do? He came as a man Himself. Think about that. And then Jesus trained up 12 guys for 3.5 years. And then one got lost along the way. We know that story. Trained up guys for 3.5 years. Then what happened? He died. He rose again. Then after His resurrection, quite a few days later, He ascended. And then a few days more after that, the church was birthed when the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Now, why did Jesus leave? Now, think about that. It seems to me He was doing such a good job, He should have stayed. Have you ever thought about that? I have. He was doing a very good job. So why didn't He stay for just till like 80? You know why? Because those 12 guys would have never done what He told them to do if He had stayed. Every time they had a problem they couldn't handle, Jesus. But when He left, we're it. That's why Jesus gave the Holy Spirit. Because they couldn't do it before, but I don't know if you noticed, but in Acts chapter 2, something happened to Peter. He became fearless. Whereas before he was swearing at a servant. A slave girl. Remember the story? Denying Jesus 3 times. He even got to the point where he had to curse because people weren't believing him. Folks, we are God's plan. Okay? I didn't say that to promote ourselves. No. To humble us. That God, the Bible says, His eyes are looking to and fro across the whole earth, seeking peoples whose hearts are loyal to Him on behalf of who He can show Himself strong. I don't know, but I have seen where I've gotten out of the way and allowed God to do what He wanted to do through me. I've seen God do incredible things. Go to Colossians chapter 4 and verse 5. Colossians 4:5. Walk in wisdom toward those who are outside, redeeming the time. Man, if you focus on time in the Word of God, in the New Testament, you start seeing some things. Redeeming the time. Look at verse 6. Let your speech always be seasoned with grace. Always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each one. I don't know if you've ever been like me, but I've put off talking to someone. Because right now is not a good time. I'm not in the best of moods today. I'm tired. I'm hungry. Whatever. I think I told you the story here about the time when I was at Pavilion. The lady was asking for food and I didn't feel like dealing with it, but I allowed God to flow through me and you heard the results. If not, you can go download it on our website. I don't know which one it is. Download all of them. You'll be blessed. So this is what it's talking about, folks. We choose to redeem the time. We choose to recognize this might be the 2012, I'm using that as a metaphor, the 2012 of this person's life. Am I willing to just walk away? Let's go to 1 Corinthians. Again, this is an encouraging message to stir us up, to say, what am I waiting on? Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Look at verse 34. We started off in Romans, I think. 13:11. Look at this. Romans, I'm going to read it, so you don't have to go there. But Romans 13:11 says, "And do this, knowing the time that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed." Now when we cross-reference that with 1 Corinthians 15:34, it says, "Awake to righteousness and do not sin, for some do not have the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame." Now look what Paul's writing to the Corinthians. I don't think he was blasting them. He was well aware, because they had no idea when Jesus was going to return. See, for us it's been 2,000 years. For them it wasn't. It was just a few years when Jesus ascended and he said, "I'm coming back." And the angel said, "He's coming back. Why do you look gazing up into heaven?" In other words, guys, stop looking up. There's a lot in the church. They just want to come, Jesus, rapture us. And to borrow a terminology, there's nothing, I'm not saying we don't look unto Jesus and we're not looking up. But if we're only looking up and not looking out, we're missing a big thing. And to borrow a terminology, you can be so heavenly minded that you know earthly good. Now we need to be heavenly minded. But we have to be aware that everyone we come in contact with, that if they don't have the knowledge of God, Paul said, they should, because they were in your company. Yeah. Redeem the time. Awake. It's like you're sleeping. So this next, for us, I'm not going to sit there and say everything, but 2012 is going to be the most different year of my life. It's what God's been speaking to our hearts. And we're going for it. And it's not just what God's going to make happen. It's what we are coming into agreement with what God wants to do, so that He can change the world around us, because we allowed Him to use our mouths to preach the gospel to people, use our hands to lay hands on the sick and all these different types of things. I've given you all these testimonies and you've heard all the things we've done. But you know what? I'm not talking about, we're already saved. We're already accepted by God. It has nothing to do with that. But I desire to walk in all of those things God had already ordained that I walk in. I don't want to wait for God's perfect timing when God says the perfect timing is now. And I wanted to say a few other things, but I didn't get around to it. And what kind of got me thinking about a lot of these things was, so often you hear Christians say something about God's timing. "Oh, well, God will heal you, brother, in His perfect timing." You're right. 2,000 years ago was His perfect timing. That's a revelation we need to have. And all these different types of things. And I went through the Bible and I looked at just briefly. I'm not going to go through these things because we don't have time. But I studied out all the different types of times that God has. And when God gives us something, when He speaks something that is for a specific time, He always tells us when that time is. Like Abraham and Sarah, "This time next year you will have a son." But most of the other places, when God's talking about timing, timing is not specifically governed by God, but by our decisions to believe God. I don't have time to go through all these things. But Amos 3:3 says, How can two walk together unless they're agreed? People dying and being raised from the dead in the New Testament and even today show that everything doesn't automatically happen according to God's timing. Think about that. If you go to Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 17, I just want to point this out so that we stop waiting for some feeling. I don't know about you, but that can be a deception, waiting for some feeling. I want to do what God's told me to do, so now I'm waiting for waiting for God to just throw us out. And all of a sudden, whoa. It generally doesn't work like that. But let's look at Ecclesiastes 7. This really blew me away. Ecclesiastes 7:17 says, "Do not be overly wicked, nor be foolish. Why should you die before your time?" You know, there are people that believe you can't die unless it's God's time for you. Your time was up. Hey, your name was called. It's not what this says. This says you can die before your time. Now, the good news is that in Christ Jesus, you can be raised from the dead. In the Gospels, Jesus raised from the dead. Peter raised him from the dead. Paul raised from the dead. And Jesus even said, raise the dead, heal the sick. Okay? When you're preaching the gospel. But what God has made available for us through what Christ did on the cross is available now if we'll believe it and appropriate it. Let's look at 2 Corinthians 6. Because this is everything, folks. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Now, I know we know this verse. Look at verse 1. "We then, as workers together with him, also plead with you not to receive the grace of God in vain. For he says, in an acceptable time I have heard you, and in the day of salvation I have helped you." Paul's quoting an Old Testament scripture here in Isaiah chapter 49. But he says, "Behold, now is the accepted time." Now is the day of salvation. In other words, God did say, in the acceptable time. And in the day of salvation. But he says, but now that time has come in Christ Jesus. For all the promises of God are yes and amen in him. So, I have discovered in my life and everyone and a lot of other people's lives that I've ministered to, that majority of cases, unless God specifically tells you, majority of cases, the timing of God is hindered or accelerated right here. How we think. If we are thinking the way we need to think, the way God wants us to think, to be able to walk in those things that God has for us, we'll be walking in them. Does that make sense? I remember one time I was in Russia. And God just spoke to me clearly. He gave me a statement. And if he said, if you were the way you needed to be, and it was this. If you were the way you needed to be to walk in the things I've shown you in your heart, you'd already be walking in them. See, sometimes we like that ubiquitous mist of a vapor of God's perfect timing. When? We don't know, but it's out there somewhere. And when it's perfect, when God's perfect timing has arrived, it just happens. It's not true. I'm not saying this to take away from God's power and sovereignty. No. But God has told us to become partners with Him. He told us to preach the gospel. If we don't preach it, it won't get preached. If we don't lay hands on those who are sick, who's going to? And so, God has great plans for each and every one of us, but His fulfillment of those plans in our lives depends upon whether or not we are able to walk in them. Because God is a good God, folks. And God does not want to see His calling destroy you if you're not able to walk in it. Because folks, like I said last Sunday morning, when you step out to do what God wants you to do, the devil steps up his attack on you. And I've seen so many couples where the ministry destroyed them instead of blessed them. Because they weren't prepared here to walk in what God wanted for them. And unfortunately, it hurt them. It wasn't God's plan. God didn't do it. But they weren't ready for the assault of Satan. And let me tell you, he attacks you where it works. There was a teacher, he said, if you have a price tag, the devil will match it. There's a whole lot of things I could say, but the only thing I'd like to just encourage you with, it doesn't matter how young you are or how old you are in our opinions of ourselves. If we will believe what God says about us, if we will allow our minds to become renewed, it doesn't matter if we're 80 years old, we can still walk in the plans God had for us. I don't believe there's any such thing as retirement in the kingdom of God. I don't know about you, but John was preaching the gospel until the day he went to be with Jesus. He was 90s, I think. It's never too late. It's never too late. We just have to see ourselves the way God sees us. Stop limiting ourselves based upon how we feel and think about ourselves, based upon what our parents said about us, our teachers, friends, bosses. You know, all of those words, because they were people of authority, especially because people that we loved, their words carry lots of weight on us and sometimes override what God says about us. God is saying, go, and you feel, but I'll fail, I know, because my mom said you fail at everything you try. Folks, this is true what I'm saying. I don't know about you, but I want to change the part of the world that God ordained for me to change. I'm not talking about me. Understand, I hope everyone, God doing it through us, through me, through you. There are people that may never hear the gospel if you don't preach the gospel to them. You can't wait for Steve, me, James, Jimmy, someone else to come. God's given them, you, that sphere of influence. We need to redeem the time. And I'm telling you, I just really believe that 2012, for many of you here, the only limits are going to be self-imposed. The only limits are not going to be financial, but self-imposed limits. I don't know about you, but when God told Moses to lead the children of Israel out of Egypt, can you imagine how much money he would need to raise to feed those guys? Could you imagine his mailing list? How long it would have to be? So God handled it. He just sent manna. I've thought of these things. But God's a good God, folks. God wants us to redeem the time, be wise. Stop putting things off for next week, next month. I've done that. I have. Well, the money's not there this month. Well, it wasn't there next month either, because you know what I've discovered? When you decide to do something all of a sudden, Lord, I'm going back to the USA. Lord, I don't have any speaking engagements. But until I decided to go, now that I've decided to go, it's filled. It's amazing how that works. When we decide, okay, I'm doing what God's put on my heart, I'm not allowing all these things to stop me, all of a sudden, boom, it starts to unfold. Boom, doom, 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 doom. I like it what Andrew says. Stop asking God to use you. Instead, pray that God will make you usable. And if you get usable, we're talking here, folks, you'll never have to say that again. There'll be so many opportunities, you'll have to ask God to stop. not literally, but you understand what I'm saying. I'd just like to pray with you this evening.
I cannot even begin to tell you how I have to share this with you. And it's like the Word and the Spirit come together, and it is just so clear what the Holy Spirit has been speaking. And tonight, before we were ending worship and before Sean came up, Jimmy was on the stage, I saw there was a moment in the Spirit, what was happening when we were in the Spirit and we were singing in tongues and we were praising. I saw Jesus come into the room, and he said to me, he said, I'm lifting the lids off my people's minds because I'm making them limitless for my kingdom. And as he said that, I saw over all of your foreheads, literally all of your foreheads, all of our foreheads, I saw this word limitless over our minds, over our foreheads, over our lives, over the people that we meet, over what we do. And just this word, everything Sean has said tonight has been what was in my heart already. Like, I've been like jumping in my seat. And it is so confirming, and I really believe that every single one of you who have come tonight has come to receive an impartation. And Sean has been carrying a message that is so true and so right, but it's a message that's going to take us into next year. And I tell you what, guys, we are a people who are limitless. We are truly limitless. But tonight, we know that. But tonight in the Spirit, something happened, and I saw boxes coming off of our minds. So I just want to encourage, before Sean prays, I just want to encourage every single one of you, whatever you're facing, whatever you held back from yourself before, whatever you thought you weren't able to do, God has actually set you free. Tonight has been all about that from the very beginning of the service till now. God has set you free. So whatever that is, He is saying that there is limitless. Your banner, you know, we used to sing that song saying the banner over me is love. I feel like the banner over you is limitless. Whatever it is, whatever you need to do, whoever it is, those people right from the beginning who need love, there is a limitless, endless amount of love, of wells that are stored up inside of your heart to give to people, whatever it may be.
Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Holy Spirit, we just thank you for what you spoke to us tonight. And the same thing that I've been thinking about, meditating on, what you've been speaking to me. I thank you, Lord God, it wasn't just for me this evening, but it was for all of us. That, Father God, we would not be like the children of Israel, as disclosed in Psalm 78, that we limited the Holy One of Israel because of our unbelief and because we didn't remember just who you are. We allow the circumstances, the Red Seas in our lives, the lack of water in our lives, the lack of food in our lives, Lord God, to get our eyes off of you. And get our eyes upon our circumstance and say, not now. Now is not the accepted time. We have to wait until things get a little bit better. Father, I thank you, Lord God. We will start to recognize, Father God, that 2011 will be the last year that we limit what you want to do in and through our lives. Father, we thank you that you set us free to bring your truth to the nations. Not just the nations out there, Lord God, but the nations of people right around us each and every day. And Father, I thank you, Lord God, that there are people here tonight, Lord God, that have had opportunities staring them in the face. But because of being timid, because of being bashful, because of how they saw themselves, that they just walked right by that opportunity. But Father, I thank you, Lord God, that they're going to redeem the time. That when that opportunity is there, there's going to be a newfound boldness, Lord God, that when they step, that Jordan will part. And I thank you, Father God, as you taught me many years ago, boldness comes after we open our mouths. Not before. Boldness is not a feeling. It is believing you more than what we can see with our eyes. And when we believe you and say, you know what, I'm going for it, Jesus, Lord, you are blessed by that. And the plans that you've had for us start to unfold because we dared to believe you. Father, I thank you, Lord God, for every person here. I thank you, Holy Spirit, that you will remind us, redeem the time. Don't put things off. Talk to your Father that you've been putting off. Talk to your neighbor that you've been putting off. Go for those ideas that God's given you. That you've wondered, well, maybe it's just my wild imagination. If it's just your wild imagination, why do you keep thinking about it? Especially when you start worshiping God. I thank you, Lord God, that, Lord, you're a good God, and you've called us according to your purposes. And I thank you that those self-imposed limitations of thinking small and being comfortable with small thinking will be destroyed. And I thank you, Lord God, just as that vision that you gave Corrine, Lord God, that you have written on our foreheads, limitless believer. Whatever we can dare to believe you for, what you put in our hearts, we can see come to pass. Lord, I thank you, Lord God, that, Lord, you're going to start putting things, as we start stepping out, you're going to be putting more things inside of our hearts. More things inside of our hearts. You won't even have time to worry about your own ideas. God's going to be flooding you with His. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we just commit ourselves to you because you're good. We thank you, Lord God, that we've received this revelation of your goodness, your grace, your love, your mercy, so we can run with it without fear of failure. Because even if we do fail, we just get right back up, Lord. You're right there. We never can fall, really. It's just in our own perceptions. And if we do fail something, just let it be a learning experience. Keep moving forward. You only lose when you stop moving forward. Amen. Praise you, Jesus. We thank you, Lord God.